Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see it's you.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See the Podcast, Season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Tour set, pop!
Bora Hey, Iconic Army. How are y'all coping with the possibility of D3? Because, oh my gosh,
we're so excited. It could be released now. We don't know.
Any minute. Any moment. Unless we're literally DeLulu clowns and we're reading into all of these hints. But I think it's coming.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. D3, the possibility of it has really gotten me through today because, you guys, let me tell you what happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the episode is coming out probably a day late, because yesterday on Monday when we were supposed to record, I decided to take Rosie on our little miniature schnauzer on a quick walk before heading over to Bethany's to record. And because it's such a nice day, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was on cloud 9. I was like literally singing and dancing around my neighborhood on this walk. Like
the sun was out. It was like almost 60 degrees outside after we had like a bunch of snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on my street that my house is on, literally 5 houses away from my house, a neighbor's dog jumped out of their back fence and came over and attacked Rosie and me. I mean, not mm-hmm. me directly, but like attacked Rosie and bit down on her like back left haunch. And like, I was like wrestling them away, screaming for people to come help, come get your dog, whatever. All of these people, like the neighbors right there, like were like standing in their yards. There was like all these people standing around, like not doing anything, just watching. And then this dog, like I'm trying to, Rosie is running around terrified, but she's like caught by my leash, you know? And so she like can't get away. And anyways, then this dog goes and clamps down on Rosie's neck. And that's when I was already freaking out, but that's when like my screaming went to a whole new level. I didn't even know that I could make sounds like that, you know, because mm-hmm. it was like a big dog. And Rosie is like 24 pounds. This dog is probably 80 pounds.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
It's like clamped down on her neck. And finally, this dog's owner came out and got it away. And it was horrible and terrifying and traumatic and literally the worst
Seriously
thing.
Traumatic.
Seriously,
it's a dog
traumatic.
Attack.
I've been having flashbacks all day. I think I'll, you know, have PTSD from it. I definitely have trauma from it. And it was the most terrifying experience ever. And, mm-hmm. you know, like I felt so helpless. I felt like it was an eternity that I was trying to get this dog off of Rosie before I got any help, and I thought that I was about to watch her get killed by this dog. Like,
well, how frightening that you're like trying to protect your dog and save your dog, but how do you even like pry an 80-pound dog off of like your tiny dog?
Yeah. I couldn't even pick up Rosie or get her away from it, you know? Couldn't get the dog away from us or shield her long enough to pick her up or anything. Like, it was just awful. Mm-hmm. And so that happened literally like 10 minutes before I was supposed to leave home. Like, I was about to end my walk, drop Rosie off, and drive over to your place to record. Mm-hmm. And instead, we found that she had a puncture wound in her neck from this dog, and we had to go talk to the dog's owners and get vaccination records, which thankfully they had. And my vet, I love my vet so much, and they were, we called them immediately, and they were able to see her and take her in. And so we got her to the vet like in under 30 minutes since it happened. And so they cleaned out the wound, and it thankfully, this dog was a puppy. It was already massive, but it was a puppy. And I think if it were full grown, she would have been way, way more injured because it just would have been so much stronger. Mm-hmm. But they cleaned out her wound and stapled her up. And she's on antibiotics and painkillers for 8 days. So I think she's doing better than I'm doing right now, honestly, because I'm just dealing with the trauma and, you know, like... just feeling bad.
I'm just thinking about the shock, you know, the trauma, the shock, the adrenaline. You know, it was a lot. When you called me and you were telling me what was going on, I was like, do not even come over here. We will record tomorrow. Get Rosie to the vet, make sure she's okay. I was just pissed at the neighbors and like the whole dog situation. Yeah. You know, if your dog is capable of jumping over a fence, it needs to be leashed and it needs to be trained. Mm-hmm. It just makes me fearful of any of your other neighbors walking their dogs or having their children walking down the street. Yeah.
Yeah.
It could have been a small kid.
Yeah. And so the situation is really complicated. Everyone's telling me to report them and whatever, and I mm-hmm. might just go and talk to them more and try to educate them more about what they need to do to leash their dog and train their dog and whatever, and to not get like police involved or whatever, because it was a teenager whose dog it is. And so I don't think he quite understood the severity of the situation when it first happened. Mm-hmm. And his mom wasn't home when it happened, and she was home later and I spoke to her. And so I would feel really guilty like reporting them at this point. And but I don't want this to happen to anyone ever again. Mm-hmm. And so this is like a little PSA for you. Always leash your dog. I don't care how good you think your dog is or how well trained you think it is. It does not matter. Leash your dog, because any other dog could run up on it, or your dog could run up on another dog, or you just don't know how someone's going to behave or react mm-hmm. in a situation. So train your dog, leash your dog, and
I just feel so bad for you. I hate that you had to go through that. That is seriously traumatic. I cannot imagine being in your shoes, how I would feel in that situation. I know that I would be physically shaking and sick to my stomach, and
I was
angry too.
I mean, the full gambit.
Yeah.
And, you know, even today, I just have feel so emotionally raw and drained. But like at school, when I was at work today, all of my students, I didn't tell them all of what happened because I just couldn't tell the story again, you know. Mm-hmm. But I did have a headache today, and so I had just told them like, I have a headache today, so like, just please try to be respectful and a little quieter today. And like, I had the lights off, and but the kids were great. They were so wonderful. And then of course, like midday, we started seeing stuff on Twitter about
D3.
And when I was just like in the depths of like having all these flashbacks and just feeling so awful, like, you know, having gone through that, I'm like, get this glimmer of hope that like Yoongi is going to like come and save me.
He's
going to
save you. You know,
And
his timing
is just impeccable. And I really, really hope that by the time this episode comes out, or like the day or two after, that we have D3 because, oh my gosh.
Even if we don't get D3 this weekend.
Right.
We know that it's coming. Something's coming. From BTS. We've seen all these pictures of them in the recording studio. Mm-hmm. Definitely new music on the way.
Yeah.
But we're past clowning. We're like into, we fully believe we're getting D3.
Yeah.
Like we're there.
We just believe it because he posted 2 Instagram posts, both at 6 p.m. Korean Standard Time, with the only caption being D, which is like the same way he counted down on Twitter for
D2.
D2. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just seems like very obvious that he's going to release something soon. Mm-hmm. And so anyways, I know that that was a really bummer of a story to tell her at the beginning of the podcast, but I wanted to explain why it was a day late and also that, you know, D3 is really getting me through right now. So I hope it comes out because, wow,
me
that
too.
Would just be amazing.
It would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on that note, welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
Yeah. All right. Today we're going to hang out for about an hour and we're doing a ship series episode. So if you're new to the show or you've never listened to a ship series episode before, we do want to do a small disclaimer and give just a brief description of how we cover ships. So our ship series is about covering the friendship pairings within BTS. We love all the ships, all of the members of BTS.
All of them.
Shipping is just a part of the fandom culture. But if you don't ship or you aren't familiar with shipping, that doesn't mean that you won't enjoy this conversation. We respect all the members and we keep this conversation fun and lighthearted as we talk about the friendships between the BTS members. Mm-hmm. So how we normally get into ships, let's go ahead and throw it to Kayla and Bethany of the past to see what ship we're covering today.
Ooh. Okay, so this is Kayla and Bethany pre-research, and it's been a long time. It's probably been over a year since we actually drew names from a cup, but typically for the ship series, we do it so randomly where we just put the BTS members' names in a cup, mix them up, shake it up, and then randomly draw two names.
Yeah.
So that's what we're about to do.
We're going to see, who we're shipping.
Who we're shipping today. Ooh. I just drew Jimin and Namjoon again. So
no.
We got Yoongi.
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 Okay, Yoongi. All right. I got the cup. It's always a thrill. Jimin.
Oh, Yoongi.
Oh, my gosh. Oh my God. Doing Yoongi.
It's been long awaited.
Wow. Oh.
Oh, God.
People are going to freak.
People have requested Yoongi since the dawn of the ship series.
Well, it's one of the major ships. Like, one of the OG ships, I'd say.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited to get into research.
Yeah.
Yoongi was my first ship who I shipped first.
It was your first ship.
God.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we are going to get into research, and then in no time at all for you guys, we'll be back with our episode about Yoongi.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's go.
Ooh. But real quickly, before we get into today's episode, we want to say thank you, Iconics, for being here and for all of your love and support. If you want to support us even further on access to Google Docs and Iconic Hangouts and sound checks, you can do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out bi-weekly episodes. Any type of support you have to offer is super appreciated. Just thank you for being here and for listening.
Yeah. Okay. It is February, and we always pick a charity of the month, and this month we're doing it a little bit differently because it's also Black History Month here in the United States. So we wanted to do something to, you know, educate or just, you know, respect the month and, you know, bring attention to it. And in the past, we have suggested charities to support during Black History Month. So this month, we want to do something a little different and suggest some books. Mm-hmm. So in our doc, and we'll link it in the description of this episode also, we found this really great article with 100 books written by Black women to read. And we scrolled through and we found a couple that we're going to read this month.
Yeah, so the book that I picked out is African American Music, An Introduction by Melanie V. Burnham and Portia K. Maltsby. And it's a combination of ethnographic fieldwork and historical research. This 17-essay book on secular and non-secular African American music covers the tradition fully and with depth. And it is quoted by Perry, who says, "Every lover of American music should have this book."
Wow.
So this is something I really want to educate myself more on, is just the tradition of African American music and its influence on, like, popular music today.
Yeah. I found something that is, you know, kind of along the same lines that really interested me. It's called Invisibility Blues, From Pop to Theory by Michelle Wallace. And this is a profound look at how Black people's artistic rigor has been overlooked and underrepresented across mainstream media, politics, and pop culture. This is a really big conversation, I feel like, nowadays in, you know, 2022. Mm-hmm. But this book was written in 1990. And wow. I'm just interested in the insight, you know?
Yeah.
Another one that really stood out to me that I will probably pick up as well is Black Eyed Susans and Midnight Birds, Stories by and About Black Women, edited by Mary Helen Washington. And what's intriguing to me about this is that it's a collection. And so you get to read writings from many different Black women who are these incredible novelists that, you know, you may not even know their names because we just haven't had the opportunity to be exposed to them and read their books. So this is a short story collection which explores what it means to be Black and a woman in America. It features a wide range of Black female writers, including but not limited to Gwendolyn Brooks, Gayle Jones, Toni Cade Bambara, and Alex Walker. Mm-hmm. So it's, I mean, I'm really excited lots about that one too.
Lots of knowledge and exposure with different stories like that.
Yeah, yeah, because it's important, you know, Bethany, you and I both consider ourselves feminists, and it's mm-hmm. important to be intersectional with your feminism. And yeah. you really can't be unless you try to understand what it's like to be a Black woman or a Hispanic woman or an Asian woman and, you know, make sure that we're lifting up their voices and supporting their stories. And for anyone to progress and do better, we have to make sure the people that are treated the worst and, you know, most underrepresented get the most support. So mm-hmm. reading stories like this and
get
poems
to hear
like
their
this
stories, yeah.
is a good way to, you know, get that insight and to, you know, understand.
And self-educate. Yeah.
yeah. So definitely spend this month self-educating yourself. Do not put it on the shoulders of your Black friends and neighbors to educate you on everything. It is really not their job. It's your job. It's mm-hmm. your job. So educate yourself with these amazing books. We also are going to link multiple charities. And if you are not a big reader and you want to donate to charity instead, do so. The NAACP is great. The ACLU Foundation and the Southern Poverty Law Center are all great charities foundations that definitely support Black voices across America. So we'll link those in the description as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. All right. So let's go ahead and get into Yunmin.
Oh my God,
guys,
Yunmin!
This is a ship that we have been waiting for. We've been waiting to draw it.
Literally.
This was your first ship, Kayla.
This was my absolute first ship, and I shipped Yunmin so hard, mm-hmm. so hard, until I fell in love with Minjun. But shipped Yunmin so hard, and so I've been really, really excited to finally dive into the ship
yeah.
series.
Yeah. So we're first going to go over just their personality types. We're going to get into like their Korean blood type, and then we're also going to get into their zodiac signs.
Mm-hmm.
For ships, we always do flirtatious moments, and we do friendship moments to wrap up the episode. So you get both. You know, both flirty
the best of both
and
worlds.
The friendship.
Yeah.
yeah. So for their personality types, they're Myers-Briggs. Jimin is ENFJ, which is the protagonist. And for the protagonists, these warm, forthright types love helping others, and they tend to have strong ideas and values. They back their perspective with the creative energy to achieve their goals.
This is so Jimin.
Very Jimin. Love helping others. Very him.
Mm-hmm.
Yoongi, he's INTP, which is the logician. And these flexible thinkers enjoy taking an unconventional approach to many aspects of life. They often seek out unlikely paths, mixing willingness to experiment with personal creativity.
Wow. Oh my
I'm
gosh.
I'm really hitting the nail on the head there.
Literally.
So we found just like these personalities mixing together and just like romantic relationships, you know, flirty relationships, I guess, how they interact. So INTPs and ENFJs may be different, but they work well in balancing each other. INTPs are more easygoing and logical, while ENFJs are more emotionally connected and organized. INTPs can help ENFJs see new possibilities when making decisions, while ENFJs can help INTPs stay on track and achieve big goals.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some really great balance between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I definitely see in that description both, you know, Jimin and Yoongi's personality kind of coming through there. Okay, so I want to talk about the Korean blood type. Jimin is blood type A, and according to the Korean chart, people with blood type A are known to be diplomatic and friendly. Likewise, they are delicate-hearted and effectively get injured. Along these lines, it requires some investment for them to open up to individuals. Others may take this negatively and interpret them as snobs because people with blood type A are good at suppressing their feelings and do not express themselves as much as other blood types. Just the people might think of them as snobs, make them think of Jimin, how we say he's unapproachable.
Unapproachable, totally. Like,
so when he wants mm-hmm. to put that on, he so does. Mm-hmm. Yoongi is blood type O, and blood type O is seen as natural leaders, practical and friendly. They're specialists at communicating their opinions constructively, ensuring that everyone listens to them while remaining friendly to all. They realize how to control their feelings quite well, giving us a significant impression of being calm and under control.
Wow.
So Yoongi. Wow. Right?
Yeah.
Talk about hitting the nail on the head.
Mm-hmm.
Though blood type O's may have a reputation for being powerful outside, however, they are responsive inside. People with blood type O have some problems voicing their feelings because of a fear of rejection, and they often seem to tire themselves out trying to get things done perfectly. What's interesting about these two blood types is that they are seen as being most compatible with each other. Blood type A compatible with O and O with A. So Yoonmin, on a compatibility level with both the Myers-Briggs and the blood type, they're so compatible.
They are. Yeah. And I can't wait until we get more into their ship because you really see that compatibility between yeah. these two. Okay. So lastly, for their zodiac signs, Jimin is a Libra, Yoongi is a Pisces. And overall, Libra and Pisces are very compatible match as long as they're able to achieve a balance between spending time together and carving out some alone time. They both highly value love and relationships. They share many similar interests, and they both long to have a fairy tale romance.
This is like literally describing them both to a T.
Okay, but listen to this part. The Libra partner wants someone strong, passionate, and confident, while Pisces want a partner who is gentle, compassionate, and aware of their feelings.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Which I just think gentle is like such a great word, and compassionate, mm-hmm. such great words to describe Jimin.
Yeah.
You know?
And passionate and confident, incredible words to describe
Yoongi.
Yeah. So with these in mind, with their compatibility on all different levels in mind, let's get into some of their flirtatious moments that yes. we have. So one thing that we really noticed through Yoonmin research is them constantly bickering and teasing each other. There are so many videos of them bickering and arguing, or there's videos of them acting like, quote unquote, an old married couple, and it's literally just them bickering.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really awesome. We found this video clip from early debut, from a BTS episode in early debut. We linked it in the doc for you. But Yoongi is telling this the camera, it's like, he's like, Jim is behind him, like messing with him or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, I suffer every day because mm-hmm. of Park Jimin, which is like so valid. Don't yeah. we all?
Don't we all? We all suffer because of Park Jimin.
Really? But then later on, I guess after their, you know, filming or whatever was over, they're in the car together, Jimin and Yoongi. And Jimin was teasing Yoongi. And Yoongi is like, Jimin always treats me like this. He doesn't love me. He treats mm-hmm. me so poorly. Look what I have to put up with. And then Jimin like gets real serious and earnestly says that he loves him. And mm-hmm. then he like even he moves over close and like literally gets into Yoongi's seat, like on top of him.
In his lap. Yeah.
Pressing his whole body against the side of Yoongi. And he's like, Yoongi, I love you.
Yeah.
You know? And Yoongi's just like, whatever. Like, you know, he's yeah. kind of like.
What I love about Yoongi's reaction is he's saying, oh, he's pretending now.
Right.
He's pretending to love me. And then when he gets on his lap, Yoongi's like, okay, you're scaring me.
Yeah. Like at that point, Yoongi
he's
was
freaked
like,
out.
I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Too close.
Yeah. Too close.
Super cute. They really are always bickering, and you see it a lot on Run episodes. Like in Run episodes, when Yoongi and Jimin are both getting competitive, like they get so sassy with each other going back and forth.
Literally.
So there was a Run episode where they were doing a cooking challenge, and Jimin was not following Yoongi's orders properly at all. And so Yoongi scold him, and Jimin responds by back hugging Yoongi and just like begging for forgiveness behind him, like, oh, I'm so cute, like, it's really not that bad. But Yoongi was pissed.
He like still wanted to scold him even with Jimin like hanging off of him.
He's like, I told you, like, it was over salt and sugar, like, you know, having to test them to see which one was which, and Jimin like didn't do it, and so he just kind of laughs about it. But it's just funny to see them bicker like this.
Yeah.
Also, in a run episode where they were doing the decibel challenge, so you can't go over 80 decibels. It was kind of like an ASMR type like episode, but they couldn't go over 80 decibels, and Jimin broke that level just by laughing to himself, and Yoongi incredulously yelled across the table, is ramen funny to you? Because like, that's what they were talking about.
He was so pissed.
He was so pissed. But of course, it just makes Jimin laugh.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't like seriously like pissed, but it was hilarious how mad he was. But he had just, his expression was just so funny.
But it's almost like Jimin wants to get this reaction out of Yoongi. And Yoongi is so calm and collected most of the time, but during these games, like, it kind of comes out of Yoongi, and Jimin knows it, and Jimin just like loves seeing this kind of reaction from Yoongi.
He's trying to coax it out.
It's cute.
This other run episode, I think it was run episode 86, where they played some whiteboard games, and
you think, or you know, it's episode 86.
Okay, whatever.
You just whipped
it out. It's written in the doc. Okay. I was just trying to have some flow, you know.
Sorry.
But that's fine. A little behind the scenes for you. But things definitely got carried away in this run episode because, like, first of all, Yoongi and Jimin start bickering across the table, of course, and they're sitting on opposite ends of the table, and Yoongi, in his like bickering with Jimin, is sitting like, J-Hope is immediately to his right, and then Namjoon next to J-Hope, and he ropes them into it too, so they're kind of like teasing and bickering back at Jimin, and so like the whole thing just goes to shit, like, I think in, you know, like the producers, like, everything's derailed, BTS is just all over the place, but this is like the ultimate savage Yoongi versus petty Jimin moment.
Yeah,
and this is like a theme, like, this, that's how I would classify their bickering, because Jimin, like you said, he wants to see Yoongi like get to that point, because he's normally so quiet and reserved, and, you know, doesn't let that affect him, but I think it's really fun for Jimin, for Yoongi to get all savage like that, and then Jimin gets to be petty, which he just, I think he genuinely has fun with. So Yoongi is like teasing Jimin over his reaction to getting questions incorrect and not being able to find answers, like, that's how it all started, and it just, it like spread like wildfire after that. They end up imitating each other, like, Jimin is mocking Yoongi's voice and facial expressions, and like, it's just hilarious and crazy. And
Jimin does really good impressions, and seeing him do this impression of Yoongi here, like mocking his voice and everything, is just hilarious.
Yeah, so they just bicker all the time, and even to the point where they completely derail run BTS episodes.
Yeah.
For our entertainment, right?
And they weren't sitting next to each other. No. They're like bickering from across the room.
I mean, it's not like a short table either. They're probably like 20 feet apart. Like, I mean, they were yelling and standing up and like shaking their fists and just hilarious. Anyways. On the other side of the spectrum between bickering and teasing each other, they're also very, very comfortable with touching each other.
Physical
touch is not a big deal to either of them. And like, they'll casually hold hands to this day. We saw clips from very recent run episodes where they're like, Jimin will grab Yoongi's hand and they're holding hands walking through the space together. So in their early days, you constantly see Jimin giving Yoongi back hugs. Like, he's just hanging off of him all the time. He loves to show his affection for his young through skinship. And we know from looking at other ships with Jimin that he's really affectionate with his members. He's not, you know, afraid to go and like love on them.
Yeah. It's how he shows affection.
Yeah, like, physical touch.
Physical touch is not out of the norm for Jimin, but we know with other Yoongi ships that Yoongi is not always real receptive to physical touch, but for Jimin and Yoongi, it just looks natural and comfortable. Like, you don't see any aversion on Yoongi's side.
Right.
Or really any kind of like strong giddiness. It just looks comfortable.
Yeah. I would say that too, because like, we've done, you know, like, Yoongi and Taeyang,
Totally different.
Like Yoongi would not, he would run away from Taeyang if he's trying to hug him. But at the same time, Yoongi isn't like blushing and like melting into it when Jimin is, you know, touching him in this way or whatever, but very comfortable, very like accepting and open to it. Yoongi doesn't shy away. I feel like he reciprocates.
Yeah.
He's not like overreacting to it, but he's reciprocating it. We found this clip. Like Yoonmin has been around since the beginning of BTS.
This is an OG ship.
Yeah. And this clip is from a No More Dream comeback stage, like behind the scenes clip. Again, link in the doc. But Yoongi is seen like rubbing Jimin's neck while Jimin is giving an interview, like kind of giving him a little neck massage. But then also he's just kind of like, he ends up lightly caressing the side of his neck, like touching with
it's
his fingertips.
Wild.
So
like, I don't know what Yoongi, like Yoongi was just really loving on Jimin.
He was like in a trance, like mesmerized by just doing that, you know? And then he kind of snapped out of it and then just like wrapped his whole arm around Jimin and stood there for the rest of the time. And I was like, okay, hold on.
What just happened?
Yeah. So I can see why, like, it's such an OG ship because they were doing that from the beginning, you know? But then even in more recent behind the scenes clips, you can see Yoonmin sitting, you know, for example, closer to each other than need be, like on a couch, where we saw this clip of, it was on a couch, Jimin, Yoongi, and Hoseok, and we love soap and we think of soap as such a valid ship, but Yoongi had like 4 inches of space between him and Hobi, and then him and Jimin were all up on top of each other, like all intertwined, lounging all over each other. And that was pretty recent. So
There's a lot of comfort there.
I
cannot get over that behind the scenes or like comeback stage for No More Dream. Like, I'm just never gonna be over that, where Jimin is like just talking and Yoongi is rubbing, like caressing with his fingers so like tenderly on Jimin's neck, staring at him, like listening so intently. Like, my God. Okay. Like, that, I totally see that as a flirty moment.
Yeah. Like, Yoongi, we get it. You're obsessed.
Yeah.
So are we. Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot of really flirty moments from the 2016 ISAC competition, which is where like a bunch of K-pop idols compete and they're
and, like different like
athletic competitions. So this 2016 time period is when we have mint haired Yoongi and orange hair Jimin. Which is just
classic.
Like iconic period for these two.
Like, I feel like when you think about Yoonmin, that's the Yoonmin.
That's where you go. That's the it Yoonmin. So during all of the ISAC moments from 2016, they are right next to each other, like throughout like the entire competitions. So I don't know if this was from the 2016 ISAC, actually, now I think about it.
Because I think that Yoongi had different colored hair in this clip.
Yeah.
It might have been the 2017 ISAC for this first one.
Or even earlier.
Or 15.
Yeah.
Well, regardless.
Regardless. Whatever.
They have deep history in ISAC.
You guys will know this one.
Yeah.
So this is when Yoongi is representing BTS in like basketball. And he's down on the main floor. And he has his head like literally all the way to the ground. Like his eyes are glued to the floor. Because Jimin is up above like in the balcony level where there's the crowd. And Jimin is shouting down, "Min Yoongi!" Like just cheering on Yoongi.
Amazing.
Like the biggest cheerleader in the crowd for Yoongi. And Yoongi is like so embarrassed. He cannot look at Jimin. He can't look at his teammates. Like he's just so embarrassed. It's hilarious. It's iconic.
Boyfriends
love the support.
Yeah.
Love the support. But from the 2016 ISAC, they really are like at each other's hips. They are like glued to each other. So we see them like play wrestling each other while they're waiting for an event. I think they're practicing.
Yeah.
But they're hunched over, like holding onto each other's hips for this wrestling competition, which you're supposed to do. But it's just, you know, I don't know. Nice to see them play wrestling.
Yeah. You know, like also what I noticed while watching some of the ISAC moments was that Jimin would like go around and he'd be greeting different people that he knew in like the community from other bands and whatever. And like Yoongi would just kind of like go with him, you know, be following him and like just literally just stuck to his side. And then like they would sit down somewhere else with like somebody new and Jimin and Yoongi would be chit chatting and Jimin would bring him into the conversation and like just like I feel like making him feel comfortable.
Yeah, being the extrovert.
being the extrovert for Yugi's introvert.
Totally.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah, it's cute. And you see them just sitting next to each other talking and, you know, they just, there's a lot of comfort between the two. But something else that happened at ISAC is Jimin, they like had gone and done the archery. And we couldn't see, like, from the videos that we saw, we couldn't see how Jimin was doing necessarily. But based on Yoongi's reaction, you could tell that Jimin was doing a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. And Yoongi was, like, so proud. Yeah. Like, so, so proud. Like, patting him on his back. Like, yeah. You just could see Yoongi being all excited for Jimin and, like, proud that Jimin was his teammate. But there's a part where Jimin is heading towards Yoongi. And Yoongi, like, cradles Jimin's head, like, congratulating him that he did, like, such a great job after this archery event. Mm-hmm. And, like, the just that, like, tender touch, you know, and that closeness of, like, cradling his face is so cute. And it's, like, the orange and mint-haired Yoonmin. And it's, like, it's perfection.
It's precious. And super intimate.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I love that moment.
And I just love seeing Yoongi being so proud of Jimin.
Oh, my gosh. So insanely proud.
Yeah.
And then when Yoongi was, you know, going doing his arrows, Jimin was sitting there watching him and was, like, super impressed by him. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just, like, kind of looking him up and down and just, like, damn, like, you're really killing it.
And the thing is like, Jungkook is there, too. Like, right. Jungkook is there doing the archery event, but, like, there's no interactions happening, like, what's going on between Yoonmin.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So something that I personally thought of with Yoonmin that I always think of is the Bepse dance practice video, which this dance practice video just has so many legendary moments within it. But something about Yoonmin in this dance practice, they just look so hot. And Jimin just, I feel like, is coming on to Yoongi the entire time.
So hard.
Like, I don't know. He just, like, was really into Yoongi that day.
Oh, yeah.
But during the choreography, whenever they're, like, near each other, they're touching each other, they're just, like, Jimin is right up on Yoongi in any moment that they're kind of close during the choreo. My favorite part is, like, during one of the hip thrusting parts. I mean, they're all hip thrusting.
Right.
But Jimin gets, like, right up on Yoongi and hip thrusts on Yoongi.
Onto him. And it's so, like, painfully obvious to watch, because at this moment Yoongi is literally front and center and Jimin's right behind him, you know? So, like, it's like Jimin was not shy about it. He was not trying to hide it, but
he
really broke formation to get closer to Yoongi and hip thrust onto him,
and he's smirking and, like, biting his lip, like, yeah,
oh,
like, I'm hip thrusting onto Yoongi. Like, I just cannot believe that he did that.
he was something else during that dance practice.
Yeah. And then, of course, during the dance practice, too, Yoongi does his iconic little dance move. I think he ended up losing some challenge where he had to, like, do his own dance move there at the end where all the members got to stand back and look at him. Mm-hmm. And it's this, like, cute, dorky Yoongi dance that he does. And Jimin hysterically laughs, like, I mean, hunched over almost on the ground laughing at Yoongi, like, getting this kind of response from Jimin just because he thinks it's so funny that Yoongi's doing this.
And Yoongi does, like, a little twerk too.
He does a little twerk.
Which is hilarious. Yeah.
And Jimin clearly loves it.
Right. He can't take his eyes off him besides when he's hunched over laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really want to talk about the BTS dinner party. And this scene is, to me, also iconic because in it, kind of leading up to it, Taeyang was sharing that Yoongi had texted him and told him in this text that he loved him. It was a really long text of support that Yoongi had, you know, spent the time to text out to Taeyang. And then at the end of it, he said he loved him. And Taeyang decides to share this story at BTS dinner party. And this is, like, you know, a bit into the evening. All of them have been drinking soju for, you know, a while. And so they're all very, like, loose and having a great time. And Jimin gets so jealous that Yoongi has said this to Taeyang and that he hasn't said it to him, at least not recently. It's kind of implied that it's been a while or something.
Well, it's not, Yoongi doesn't willingly or, like, very often say I love you. You kind of have to, like, pry it out of him. So yeah, all of the members are a little envious, but Jimin particularly is jealous.
He won't let it go.
Yeah, he won't let it go.
Because all of the members, like Namjoon and Jin, even comment, you know, like, I've never gotten a text like that, like, you know. But Jimin, he's really hanging on to it. And so Jimin begs Yoongi to tell him that he loves him. And he says it would give him a lot of strength if he did. And Yoongi just so understated and nonchalantly just looks up from his food and he's like, low voice, Jimin-a, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
And Jimin,
it's his, Jimin's reaction
his
for
reaction
me.
Is just everything. He just, he can't help it. He's just so filled with love. He crosses his arms and he's just and he just throws his head back and he's laughing because he just is so happy that Yoongi has told him that he loves him.
Pure joy.
Pure joy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's bottled up inside of him, you know, bubbling up in him. He can't even help it. It's so cute. And, you know, so he's just over the moon that Yoongi has told him this. And I just love that moment, too. Mm-hmm. That's definitely like a flirtatious, romantic-y, even though it's like in a dinner party setting with all of BTS. I just think it's so cute, Jimin's reaction.
Yeah.
Like, to me, Jimin's reaction gives like some validity to it.
Yeah. Well, how meaningful it is.
It's so meaningful.
Yeah. And also so sweet that even though this is something that Yoongi doesn't like to say very often, that he ended up giving that to Jimin because Jimin so badly wanted it.
And he also isn't like public about it. Like, he sent Taeyang a text. Like, he really wanted to support Taeyang and whatever. So he decided to, he's not going up and telling him this in person.
Yeah.
But then for Jimin, he'll say it right there in person, live in front of everybody. Like, damn, that's
a good
meaningful.
Point. That's a good point. Because when Taeyang was sharing that, you could just hear Yoongi, Hajima, stop. Like, he's like so embarrassed, like face in his palm.
Yeah.
Like, stop.
Yeah. So, but he's not embarrassed to tell Jimin.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Kayla from Standing BTS. After you check out the latest episode of our show, be sure to check out some of the other great programs on Consequence Podcast Network, including Rootsland, an original story of two friends who take a musical and spiritual journey from the suburbs of Long Island to the streets of Kingston, Jamaica. The Opus is Consequence's original documentary podcast exploring legendary albums and their lasting legacies. So head over to consequence.net to listen to these podcasts and many great others.
So those are kind of all of our flirtatious-y moments, mm-hmm. but let's talk about some more.
Let's talk about the friendship. Yeah, some really great friendship moments. So when we went in to do this research, this was a moment that I had in mind that I think is just one of the best Yoonmin interactions that I think have ever happened. So these two really comfort and support each other. Like, they really comfort one another. Mm-hmm. And Yoongi especially supports Jimin. And so Jimin has, since the beginning of debut, like before debut, pre-debut, Jimin had to learn to sing. There was actually a moment where they thought he could be a rapper, he could be a singer. And so he really had to develop his vocal ability. But because of this, he's been insecure with his vocals, and mm-hmm. he's always been open about that with Yoongi. And Yoongi actually, we find out that Yoongi ended up advocating for Jimin at Big Hit by saying, like, hey, he needs to be a singer, not a rapper.
Don't make him be a rapper.
Yeah. So because of this insecurity, there's this scene where they're both riding in the car together. And honestly, I can't remember if it was like after a concert, if they're going in between like schedules, but it looks like it's nighttime. Mm. And Yoongi's on the left, Jimin's on the right. It looks like the end of the day. They're both really tired. Yoongi's eyes look like they're practically shut, like mm-hmm. he's so tired. But as they're riding together, Yoongi compliments Jimin's voice and says that his voice is really nice. And he says it so matter-of-factly. And you see Jimin just get the smallest little grin on his face. Like, it's not like too much, but just enough where you can see that that compliment meant so much for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Yoongi continues to say that, like, his voice is his taste, and that, like, he particularly likes Jimin's voice. During, like, Burn the Stage, you hear Yoongi talk about Jimin's voice and saying that, like, it's exactly his style, that he's not trying to say that Jimin's a better vocalist than anyone else. Like, he's not comparing it. It's just his preference. Mm-hmm. That's how much he loves Jimin's voice. And that just is such a huge supportive, like, compliment that Yoongi is giving to Jimin, that it's like Jimin already has these insecurities about his voice. Not so much anymore. I think that's really gone away. He's he's really developed and grown as a singer. But, you know, you can just see the support, the love and support from the beginning, and that it continues to this day. And that, like, it's Jimin's voice that really, like, tunes into Yoongi's ear. Mm-hmm. Like, love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
I mean, Yoongi is not the type to freely give out compliments, just like he doesn't easily say, I love you to people. And, you know, so for him to so willingly give this super meaningful compliment, he knew how much that would resonate with Jimin to tell him that. And, you know, I just think that those types of moments are really something that can't be overlooked. And it's something that means the world. And it's like what their friendship is built on. Because, you know, for Yoongi to say that, Jimin had been talking about all of his insecurities, and he was bringing up how Big Hit had wanted him to be a rapper, and, you know, and so it's just like so wonderful to see how they can share their most profound, like, insecurities with each other and concerns with each other, and feel like that other person is really going to listen and care and help them, because it seems like really that's what Yoongi has done so much for Jimin. And I think that we've seen Jimin be an amazing support for Yoongi also.
Yeah, yeah. So for Yoongi, what I really think of is when they were at their concert and Yoongi saw his parents in the crowd. And this was like HYYH, maybe even before HYYH. But it was so meaningful for him to see his parents supporting him and cheering him on in the crowd that he fell to his knees and bowed down on stage and was just sobbing. I mean, so many emotions. I don't know. I could never say, like, what he felt in that moment. But you see Jimin come over. He's the member who immediately comes to him and leans down right next to him and is rubbing his back and is just right there next to him, comforting him while he's, you know, just so overwhelmed with emotion seeing his parents there at the concert.
He must have just felt intense pride and, you know, like almost a feeling of that he made it, and, you know, to be able to see, it was a huge concert.
And also for, the approval from his parents.
Yeah. To be able to show them that he is successful and that he chose the right path, you know, because he really struggled to get here. But yeah, Jimin immediately, I mean, all of the other members were in proximity too, but Jimin noticed and swooped down and was just right there rubbing his back, comforting him, talking to him as Yoongi's just sobbing. Huge comfort.
They're both such comforts to each other and such support. So another way that Jimin has been there for Yoongi is during the Map of the Soul press conference. Yoongi mentions that Jimin came to him to cheer him up after they had had like a really long day. They had been working really hard, and that in that moment he didn't really show it, but that he was very grateful inside that Jimin was there to cheer him up. And it's funny because you see Yoongi like expressing his gratitude now, like months later.
Yeah.
And Jimin is already like at the press conference like mocking or like kind of just like bickering at Yoongi, like, oh, now you tell me, you know, that you actually were really grateful for that moment. And it's just funny that they're bickering back and forth in this moment.
Yeah,
but
he
you
literally
see this like
imitated him then and acted out how Yoongi responded, was just like, oh, you're here, oh, sit over there,
oh, sit over there. That's right.
Yeah
Which is like classic Yoonmin. That's like just how they treat each other. But it's quite evident that behind the scenes, behind that front that they have with each other, there's like this serious, deep love and care for one another.
Yoongi knows why Jimin was there, and Jimin knows why he showed up, you know, and they have that kind of bond and that deep connection where, like, you know, it was so wonderful for Jimin even months later to get the validation for sure verbally from Yoongi that like that really meant a lot to him. But I think, you know, Jimin in the moment knew like Yoongi needs someone right now. Even if I'm just going to sit there, like it'll be a help to him. And, you know, I think throughout their history and their friendship, Jimin tends to do this. Like he really takes care of Yoongi in this way. And he always looks after him when he has those late nights in the studio and, you know, making sure that he gets his coffee and, you know, that he's getting fed too. And, you know, it's kind of like a thing for Yoonmin. And so I just love that Jimin supports him like that.
I love that Jimin doesn't need that feedback from him either, you know, that he knows Yoongi well enough that he might not be able in that moment to reciprocate it or express his gratitude or be or even outwardly say, you know, yeah, I'm okay. Like, thanks for being here, whatever. Like, Jimin just wants to be there to comfort him and just knows him so well that he doesn't expect that of him.
And Yoongi also doesn't have to ask for it either, which he probably wouldn't want to do. He doesn't want to ask for someone to come sit with him while he's, you know, sad or low on energy or whatever. But Jimin just knows. Yeah.
And Jimin cheered him up.
And he did. Moment. He really cheered him up.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's such great comforts to each other, which is why their friendship runs so deep, because when you can have that comfort level, it just, it, you know, it means so much. You can be so emotionally intimate with each other.
Yeah.
A friendship moment that must be mentioned, one of the most iconic Yoonmin moments in all of time and history.
Truthfully.
The Tony Montana performance.
Yes.
The original August D song is not featuring Jimin. However, for the third muster, Yoongi wrote a verse specifically for Jimin, which just makes me think about your point where, like, Jimin's voice is to his taste and, you know, he just wants
Yoongi's
to
a
work
producer,
with Jimin.
You know, like, as a producer, he must have, like, this finer ear where he can tune into Jimin's voice and, like, the value of it.
Yes.
Definitely.
Oh, yes. Fuck yes. Okay. So anyways, he wrote this verse for Jimin. And when the performance is happening, it was a complete surprise for ARMYs in attendance that Jimin would come out on stage, because they're just thinking, you know, typically during muster, BTS gets to perform songs that they don't ever perform, that like they would never perform in a full tour because it doesn't fit into a set list, but beloved songs by ARMY. So we're just thinking, oh, awesome. We're getting a Tony Montana performance. Yeah. Incredible. Yoongi is like, fucking crouch walking all over the stage.
Cocky.
So cool.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And then after the first chorus, you hear Jimin and then you see him rise out of the stage.
Yes.
And it's like, oh my God, ARMYs went fucking crazy. And then Jimin has this like little rap verse and he rapped his heart out.
Yeah.
I mean, he is super still to this day, super insecure about his rap. It's not something he likes to do, but I feel like in this situation when Yoongi was like, I want to put you on my track, I'll write you a verse, we'll work on it together. Like, they really practiced together and worked on it together. And like, Yoongi spent the time to like make Jimin comfortable with it. And so Jimin just came out with so much fucking confidence.
So much confidence.
So much.
Yeah.
And he looked fine. They both looked fine during this performance.
Chains.
Iced up.
Jimin has like a hat on and sunglasses.
Oh, God. The hats.
They both have ripped jeans.
God, the
Damn.
Ripped jeans. And the really long t-shirts. This is like the Justin Bieber era for their dressing where they have super long t-shirts and skinny jeans. But they look so good.
They look amazing. Ugh. And also, I've talked about this before in the podcast, but like, I love soft Jimin, you know, like Serendipity Jimin and all that. Like, I really think that's who he is. But seeing this like edgier side of him, I just like really love.
Yeah.
And I know that like we don't get to see this side of Jimin very often.
Yeah.
So to be able to see Yoongi cocky as hell performing Tony Montana and then to see this edgy, cocky as hell Jimin coming out, like rapping, crouch walking with Yoongi, like a chain around his neck. It's like, damn.
Yes.
You don't get to see this kind of Jimin very often.
No, because you know, it's not that it's out of its comfort zone, but it's just not necessarily him.
Yeah,
you know? But when he gets the opportunity, he rises to the occasion. You know, he's like, he takes it as a challenge and he totally dominates
it. Well, he can be so confident and like unapproachable and just extremely intimidating. So it's just neat to see him and Yoongi in this performance doing that together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Iconic.
Incredible.
Oh, that Tony Montana performance. If I could re-experience that, you know, for the first time watching it, I would love to re-experience that again.
Yeah, and to have that surprise again of, oh my God, Jimin's coming out.
Yeah.
I think that was like, during that time and era, I feel like that was the golden years of Yoonmin, you know, just the height of Yoonmin.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So lastly, for friendship moments, I think back to way back when BTS, shortly after they debuted, Jung ended up making all those like handwritten letters and gifts for armies. And he wanted to make sure that all of these armies got these gifts. And it was a lot of work on him, but it was something he wanted to do. And German came in and helped him make a lot of these gifts with him so that it wasn't just him doing it alone. And I just think, like, what beautiful friendship, and like German being the considerate person that he is. And I know that, like, in that moment, Jungi isn't like super outwardly grateful for it, but you could tell like that meant so much to Jungi that Jimin went and helped him.
Yeah, because it's so much work, and mm-hmm. for Jimin to just know he's not going to ask for help, but he would really appreciate it, and I would love to help him. Like, that's just the balance that they have, and the friendship that they have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so Yunmin.
Overall thoughts. Yeah. You know, it's crazy because I thought I would have been more into the flirtatious moments between these two, but when it really comes down to it, I just see this like super gorgeous friendship that is so like deeply rooted and isn't really shown a whole lot on the surface. Like, I think the bickering that they do is very flirty.
Yeah.
I think it's super flirty, but the bickering I think is like this like mask or like front that they both put up with each other. But like deep down, these two are like so intimate and close with each other, mm-hmm. like on a really emotional level.
Yeah.
And I see both of them as very gentle. You know, Jimin, I think, comes off gentle. Jungi like kind of comes off like a little like harder edged, mm-hmm. but really on the inside, we all know he's like this really gentle softy. Mm-hmm. He just isn't outward about it. Mm-hmm. So I see like that connection between the two where they just are very compassionate people, and like they're compassionate for each other. And I just think it's super sweet.
Yeah.
I love them.
I love them. Yeah. I agree with everything you just said wholeheartedly, because I couldn't have summed it up better. They mm-hmm. they do have such an intimate like relationship in their emotional connection.
And it's that, like a, yeah, the emotional connection the between emotional the two.
Like, I think they really understand each other, and they understand, like, I think they share their deepest insecurities. I think they share their mental health struggles with each other.
Yeah.
I think they share what they're struggling with in the band with each other. I think that's what those two talk about.
Definitely.
Because, and they know that the other person isn't going to judge them or treat them in any other, you know, negative kind of way, mm-hmm. but they are confidants together, and I think they help each other through it.
For
and,
sure.
You know, like, I think Jimin has deep relationships, and Jungi also has deep relationships with all of the other members of BTS, but that specific facet of them like really sharing those types of fears and insecurities with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because I know, like, for example, I really ship Namjoon and Jimin, and I love them together. And we know, like, Namjoon has helped Jimin write music and, like, express himself through music. And that's been, like, a big thing that has bonded them. But it's not Jimin coming and sharing these deep wounds that he has and insecurities that he needs to get through, or it's not Jimin going to Namjoon and saying or like noticing what he needs help through or whatever.
Exactly.
It's Jimin and Jungi doing that.
Yeah. And just going off what you're saying here, like during Burn the Stage, Jungi was talking about how Jimin, when he's out on stage and he doesn't do his best, that Jungi, he straight up says, like, I understand those feelings. Like, I know those feelings, and that he can just relate to him on that. So I think, like, Jimin really can confide in Jungi and know that he, like, really understands the similar, you mm-hmm. know, emotion.
Yeah.
And that they really do connect on that kind of level where, you know, it's very different from the other members' relationships. Like, that super, that like, those insecure
the
moments.
The insecurities.
In things that, like, you know, he's a singer of like one of the best groups, and he's being insecure about his, you know, mm-hmm. voice. That's like, that's tough. That's really, really tough. And for him to go to Jungi
and
for Jungi to be his comfort.
Yeah. And like mm-hmm. Jungi, I mean, he jokes about it, but I think he's been like insecure about his looks, or, you know, and he's dealt with a lot of issues with like mental health too. Mm-hmm. And I just think that he is able to connect with Jimin on that level of mm-hmm. feeling like this lack of confidence, and like looking around at the other members and seeing how confident they all are and how incredible they all are. And, you know, almost like trying to feel maybe a little bit inadequate, you know, like maybe Jungi feels like, well, I don't look as Perfect does Worldwide Handsome, Kim Seokjin, or Jimin's like, well, I can't sing like Jungkook, you know? And they're, I think they're bonded through that. Yeah. And, I
mean, Jimin's like, I can be your filter.
I know, oh God.
Sorry, that was a poor joke.
No, I love that.
Yeah.
I really love Yoonmin. I would agree with you. I see them more as like a really deep friendship as opposed to like something super, super romantic. But I know there's a lot of really romantic heavy Yoonmin shippers out there.
Yeah. And there's so many Yoonmin moments out there that we had to have missed a whole bunch of them. God.
Literally, because they are an OG ship. Yeah. 2013 to 2022. That's insane amount of content.
Yeah. 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 So I'm sure there's a lot more flirtatious moments between these two. So if you guys have some, definitely have some discourse on social media.
Yeah.
We'll tap into the convo because we'd love to see it. But we really do love Yoonmin. And it just happened that during research, we fell in love with like just the friendship component of it. And just like the connection that they have, you know, on this really, you know, this being able to share their true emotions and deepest fears with each other.
If you have other Yoonmin moments that you need to share with us, of course you can DM us. But I think a great way to share it is tweeting it at us instead of like DMing us, because then we can easily quote it or retweet it to share with other iconics.
Yeah.
So I always love when people share more information like that. So please do, because we'd love to share more Yoonmin this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was our Yoonmin episode. Yay!
Finally.
It's finally come.
Oh my gosh.
What a great start to 2022.
Yeah.
Really. Here we are. We just want to quickly say that in our last episode, we talked about the disappearance of our first standing BTS episode.
First episode ever.
Yeah. And someone reached out to us that it still exists over on Stitcher. So if you want to go over to Stitcher and hear that episode, go for it. I won't be there.
Okay. I will say that a lot of people gave us feedback saying you guys probably feel like it's really cringy, but to us, we love it. It's great to hear like the inception of it, and it's still content that we enjoy because we all love their hair or whatever. So, you know, maybe don't take our bias list ranking too seriously, and it's all different now at this point, and we would never rank them like that nowadays.
Yeah.
But you might enjoy the rest of it, and we were maybe a little too harsh on ourselves.
Yeah.
But it's on Stitcher. So.
Yeah, it's on Stitcher. And then depending on if D3 happens or not, our Being an Army episode might have to be postponed potentially. But we, as of right now, are still planning on doing our Being an Army episode next week.
Yep.
But if D3 gets released,
it's going to be D3.
We gotta prioritize BTS's schedule. We really do.
Oh,
we're not going to be able to contain ourselves. So we'll just end up doing Being an Army the following week.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have three episodes right after one another.
Yeah, three episodes in a row for our amazing iconics during the month of February.
Yes.
Of Hobiary.
Yes.
Yes. Happy
J-Hope's
Hobiary.
Birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday, J-Hope.
Well, we really enjoyed putting together this Yoonmin episode this week, and it's been forever, it seems, since we've done a ship series. So hopefully it's not another 6 months before we do
it won't be.
Another ship series.
Let's not like that. Let's not have that happen.
No, we really need to do like Jikook. We need...
we need Jikook.
We seriously
I want to do Namgi.
Oh, God. Oh, I would love Namgi. I love Namgi so much. Yeah. So we definitely have more to do. We have a lot on the horizon. As always, you can reach out to us on social media, Standing BTS Pod or Standing BTS Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. We do want to say a special thanks to our supporters on Patreon, especially our VIP iconics, Eileen, Michelle, Deja, Meg, Rachel, Robin, Crystal, Emily, Madison, and Holly. We love you, iconics, so much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for everything. And if you enjoyed this episode, please let us know. And you can find links for all of the things we talked about in this episode in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.